This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Do you want your child to be a star athlete? Find out how on this month's edition of Sports Medicine. Dr. Harjit Singh speaks about the development of athletes from the ground up, and he is joined by a former national hockey captain and national hockey coach, Sarjit Singh. Let's start with, since we're talking about children, could you describe the physical development and motor skills, and how that kind of develops?
I think if you look at a sports perspective, children develop their motor skills and also mental development over time. And if you look at the motor skills, you probably have the gross motor and the fine motor skills. So when you look at gross motor skills, it's like a functional movement. That means climbing stairs, moving around. And if you look at finer skills, they involve a lot of dexterity movements. That means finger movement, the finer things that we do. Now, as the child develops, the way they walk, the way they climb stairs, the way they run changes. And until about the age of 5 or 6, you get a more adult-like pattern. And the finer skills also develop as the child ages. And as this progresses, we know that this appropriateness of motor development signifies that the brain also is developing well. So if you look at sports, we always say that, to start them in proper sports is at the age of 5 to 6, if we look at development. But often, high-level coaches and trainers like Sarjit, they do have a different take on the issue. But if you look at development in sporting activities, normally 5, 6 is a good time to start sports.
When would you say is the best time? Coming from a development or coaching perspective, if you really want to have, a gold medalist, somebody who's really going to be at the top of their game, what is the ideal time?
I think I agree with Dr. Arjit. I think 5, 6, I think, is a very good time, because that's where I think he's more scientific on his because he's a doctor. We are coaches, so we concentrate on the skill part later part. But I think 5 and 6 years old is a very good time.
But then in the meantime, what constitutes play? We're talking about starting children in formal sports, but of course you also want them to be able to just have free play, right?
Yeah, I think when I used to play sports, not too long ago, I'm not so old, but there was never a structure, Sarjit, to sports. We just used to go and play. And then, the competitive nature of the game was not emphasized so much, and we were allowed to free play, so to speak. We just went to enjoy ourselves. And there were older players or kids there who taught us the skill. But I think now, the younger child is already being structured into training a bit earlier.
I think what Dr. Haji is saying, I think the most important thing is at the age of 5 or 6, you need to get them know what sport they are really keen and interested in. That is the most important thing. If they're interested in soccer, then you concentrate them in soccer. Then you have longer time. They can have longer time to plan and prepare for them.
Well, how much play do kids really need from a developmental point of view?
If you look at all the research, they say that kids are getting very little play nowadays. In my children patient, they normally even consider PlayStation as time play. I think that's ridiculous. But they say that at least a child should have outdoor activities of about 45 minutes to an hour a day. And that is not only for the benefits of exercise, but it also for the benefits of mental development, social interaction, and those kind of stuff. But it also emphasizes the interest in sports. And once you are able to get a child interested in sport, then you can hone them to become better potential athletes. Now, you can have someone gifted, but if he's not interested, nothing's going to happen. So I think in that way, the whole structure is designed to build interest.
Speaking as a child who was a complete bookworm, you know, I never wanted to play really, and I didn't really want to play catch or badminton or anything at all. So what happens if you have a kid who just seems uninterested? How do you start to introduce play and sports to them in a way that they might be more keen?
Yeah, I think that's first thing. I think you must know what the kid is really interested in. Let's say he's not interested in sport. You must find a way for you to get the kid interested in at least one sport. I mean, we parents, maybe we give up. Maybe they are not interested in soccer. We take them to soccer. Let's say hockey, netball. Maybe they might be interested in other sports. You know, nowadays there are so many other sports, like motor racing, example, F1. I mean, see, it depends what their interest. If they're interested in that sport, then slowly, once you get the child in and you give him the facilities, I think the child will be happy.
But it's about investigating to find that first spot.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a sports gene? I mean, we've talked about this before, Dr. Harjit, whether or not there are people who are sort of naturally gifted when it comes to sports.
Well, I think the best person to answer is you, Sarjit. Because if you ask me, I think you can have someone gifted, but if he's got no commitment to sports, it's not going to work. And you can have someone who works so hard, but if he's got no that magic point, it's not going to work either. But I think this is your area.
I think, yes, I think I agree with Dr. Harjit. Because if you are gifted, because not many athletes have the gift. If you are gifted and if you work really very hard, your level can go, like you can say, like example, Maradona, Pele. I mean, not many people has reached that level. So if you are gifted and you really make use of the gift and you train hard and work hard, I think you can do wonders.
But is it also about trainability? You know, not just whether you are gifted, not just whether you're interested, but how trainable you are, you know, as an athlete.
Yeah, that's what Dr. G said. Your commitment, the training. You need to spend hours in the morning and so in the evening if you are that level. I mean, you have no time to, I mean, you need to rest, you need to have enough good sleep. I mean, this is all important area of. If you are a gifted athlete, you have everything. The only thing, you need to work hard and discipline yourself. And I don't see any reason why you can't reach to the highest level.
Okay. Maybe I'll just ask you a question. Sometimes they allow me to do that. Okay.
Okay.
See, you sometimes don't acknowledge it, but you are one of our best product in hockey. And you come from a time not this... technologically at once time that we have now. Everything is on cameras, computers, and we can track everything that the athlete does. Okay, so you obviously had a sporting gene.
Yeah,
that's what your coaches say. But they also said that you were trainable and you worked very hard.
Yeah.
Okay, now I noticed that, okay, you either have someone who's very gifted but he's lazy, or you have someone hardworking but he's not very gifted. So what is it about you that was different?
I mean, the difference is because I really work very hard. If you are gifted and you don't take the chance, you don't want to work hard, then your playing career, instead of being 10 years or 12 years, maybe your playing career will be maybe about 4 years, 5 years. But if you train hard and you work hard, your playing career may be 10 years. If you really work hard and you commit yourself and have a good discipline, maybe you can go to 15, 16 years.
Okay, so now you've got an athlete you have identified and you said, okay, this guy has got potential. How do you encourage him to go to the next level, and how do you encourage him to maintain in that level?
I'll continue working that hard, because in order to even reach that level, you must have been working quite hard already.
Yeah, in the first place, if he has come to a level when he wants, first you bring them to a development level. The next level you want to go, you need the right people there. You need the right people because to go to the next level, you can't have coaches who are just, you need to have a professional coach who is good, who knows this athlete, how to train him and how to bring him to the next level. Because the most important thing is when they are doing the development, that is very important. Example, hockey, because I can speak for hockey because I'm there. How to hold the hockey sticks, how's the right way to hold the hockey sticks, and how to push the ball, how to flick, because hockey is there's so many technical things. So hockey is actually a very difficult sport. I mean, not everybody can play hockey. So to bring them to a next level, you need the right people there. Because we have a lot of coaches now here in school level. Everybody have the certificate. But are they good enough? Practical theory is everybody wants to do theory. Nobody wants to do practical. So if you really put them on the practical aspect, I don't see any reason why they can't go to the next level.
Okay, now if we look at you, you mentioned about the food they eat and the kind of rest they get. Yeah. So I think what you're trying to say is from the word go, a child athlete should understand all this. And now we have sports schools. I think we identify good people, we put them in the sports school. So has our sports development program, sports school program been successful? Maybe the training part, do they actually advise them on nutrition and other stuff?
For me, I think this sports school has done a good job for me, because the last, when I was the coach, the junior coach and the national team, my players came from the sports school, because we have two sports schools, one in Banda Panawa and one in Bukit Jalil. So at least you have a base. We have 30 players from Banda Panawa and 30 players from Bukit Jalil. We have the base. At least we have 60 hockey players there. So you need to look other players, maybe from other states. At least you have the base. And now, recently, I think TNB is doing a good job, Tenaga National. They have also adopted a Tamalo school, Anderson school, and I think few other schools. So now we are getting a bigger base. Once you have a bigger base, then you have more opportunities to select players.
Does being a student athlete actually help with a sporting career? You know, having that kind of continuous immersion, I guess, in the world of sports.
Yeah. So like hockey, I think hockey players are very lucky these days, this time. Because if you are a good hockey player, a lot of institutions like university, colleges give you scholarships and give you time to divide your sports and your education together. So instead of finishing your degree in 3 or 4 years, maybe you can do it in maybe 6 to 8 years. So you have your time, and also you can divide your time to sports. So for hockey, I think we are in the right direction, because we are not professional yet, but I think most of the hockey players, they have diplomas and they have degrees.
I think even in other sports, it's becoming like this. That means you have a good corporate sponsorship, which make it worthwhile to be an athlete. I mean, you can't be an athlete if you can't
afford it.
Yeah, yeah, if you can't basically afford it, one part, and if you can't actually have a gainful income to do it at a long period of time, because we all have our own commitments. And I think the corporate commitment is very, very important. The only thing is whether the coaches for adolescent athletes understand that you have a gifted athlete and you want to hone him to be the best that he can be. But the education part is also important, because ultimately, after he finishes with sport, he has to have an exit plan.
Yes.
And I think that what is your thinking, that do they normally have an exit plan?
Yeah, I think they have. And in hockey, I think we have, because most of the hockey players, as I told you earlier, I mean 90 to 95% have at least diploma or degree.
Okay.
In hockey. So they are in the right direction. And you know, now the good thing is now we have inter-university games, inter-college games. So everybody want their college or university to do well. And if I'm not mistaken, our university, Malaya University, in Asia, I think we always become the champion, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, and Sarjit Singh, former national hockey captain and national hockey coach. We're talking about what it takes to develop a champion sports person from childhood all the way up to adulthood. Up next, we find out a little bit more about the major milestones as you're moving through age groups and how you really develop somebody from a good school athlete into a good national athlete. You are listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Harjit Singh, and Sarjit Singh, former national hockey captain and national hockey coach, here as our guest because we're talking about how to develop a champion sports person. So earlier we were talking about, you know, having children and then finding the sports that they're interested in, screening them, putting them into programs. Does that mean that China might in fact have the ideal sports program since they pre-screen young children for sports and then put them into intensive programs? Are we, you know, should we be looking to China in that sense?
I think China is doing a good job because their population to do
it. That's true, yes.
So they have a big population. So with that, they can identify the kids at a very young age. And then what they are doing, that's why they are getting a lot of Olympic champions now. I mean, to do that is not easy, but because the population is big and they have, I think, one of the best facilities in the world too.
Well, okay, maybe I will disagree a bit in the sense that, okay, it's very nice to get Olympic medals, but what's going to happen is, I think China is like forcefully getting kids into sports based on their height, their body structure and all that. So I always feel that while that gives you instant acclaim, maybe I think if we do start identifying them in that way based on body structure and all that, I think maybe the interest and the child's well-being is also important, because I do notice that
just because I'm tall doesn't mean I want to play basketball, for example.
Yeah. You know, just because you are short, you are at a disadvantage if you play basketball. So everything has to be taken with a bit of tapering of the expectation. I think what is important in a childhood athlete is that also the other parts are well taken care of. That means if they get injured, you get that managed so that their time in the game can be prolonged. Often, if you get a knock, we normally just shrug it off and then they continue playing and thinking that, you know, it's a small thing. But often they get bad injuries, and when we don't take care of them well, I think children, they tend to heal very, very well, but, you know, they still can get bad injuries. So I think it's not only about picking the child and developing him, but I think it's being mindful of everything, because you're dealing with a growing skeleton. So the way the body changes at puberty, you know, they grow very fast. They tend to become tight at their joints and body parts, and that puts them at a higher risk for injury.
What kind of emotional support do coaches need to provide for children or for teenagers or just for young athletes who are going through, for example, their first serious injury, the first time they break a leg, the first time that something happens that could impede their career?
That's why when I was a coach, example, I mean, most important is you need scientists on the pitch. I mean, that's where you need the doctors. You need the doctors. You need the physios. You need the nutritions. And then also you need the video analysis and a video man. And video man is taking the guy who's taking the video. And the analysis is he analyzed the game. So this is where if you want to be a coach, you need to have scientists. If you are not a scientist, you need to get the scientists involved. That's why when if you are a coach, you must get the National Sport Council involved, because they have the best scientists there.
Coming back to what happens as you grow older, what are the major milestones that young athletes should be hitting as you move through the age groups? Are there specific milestones? Is it like developmental milestones?
I think at puberty, you have to be mindful that you are having your growth spurt. So you are going to become less flexible. When you become less flexible, your warm-up, your stretching protocol has to be enhanced to prevent overuse or acute injuries. I think that's one. And as they develop further, you will notice that at the age of 14, 13, they can do a bit more strength work.
Yeah.
Because the next step is, you know, building the endurance, and the skill set is also building up strength. And often we discuss about, should they do weight work? I think weight work and weight lifting are two different things. It's not to buff up the body and look good, but it's actually to build up strength, because that enhances your play. And when you are stronger, especially whether it's a team sport or individual sport, you perform better, because you can definitely perform at a higher level. And sports are also very physical activities.
Yeah. That's why you need a conditioning coach. You need the real people involved. That means who are like conditioning coach, example. And then you need the physical coach. So these are all the people. When you be the coach, you need all of them. You see? And also same time, because these kids are very young, like let's say we organize any tournament, you need to have an ambulance there with a doctor there, with a nurse there. I mean, these are all because kids and the parents see whether are they having these facilities. Because if they have, then they're more encouraged to send their children there.
And for yourself, Sergeant, what has it been like developing an athlete from the ground up, from the time they're a child athlete to becoming a professional elite athlete? Take us through that process.
Okay. I mean, when you start at the age of 5, 6, I mean, you need to do a lot of basic. I mean, most important is the base. Once you have the base, after that, I mean, you need to do a lot of training. Like, because those days when I was in Batu Pahat, you know, people say this guy is crazy playing hockey at odd hours going. Because I wanted to be really there. I wanted to be there. So I really put a lot of work. So once you put a lot of work and then you rest, you have enough time to rest, you eat well, I think that is the most important for me. Because I really look after my injuries. I look after my injuries because in case I'm injured, I get it treated immediately. And the most important is for me, I think, the hard work.
How do you think the current athletes are different from, I mean, previous athletes? I mean, I understand that the money is much better now, but somehow the facilities are definitely improving. But if you look at the performance, I mean, do you think that the performance doesn't mirror the amount of money and commitment? And, you know, you've got elite coaches, you've got trainers, you've got high performance trainers, you've got nutritionists, you've got a psychologist. And yet, apart from possibly Nicole David, Lee Chong Wei and a few others, our divers, we haven't hit the mark.
But, I mean, time also change. Huh? I mean, 1980s, I mean, you don't have much building in Malaysia. Suddenly, okay. 1990s, I mean, we are moving forward. Okay. So now we have very good facilities.
Okay.
Really. But those days, we don't have, we only get sports people from their family playing. We don't have a big base. Now, if sports can be a good earning, they can earn from sports. It become like a business. I mean, most of the parents, they will send their kids. Example, like football now, soccer. I mean, the soccer players are really earning very high.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, if they earn that amount of money for the 5, 6 years, I mean, they can look after the money well, and then they got a diploma or they can get somewhere. I mean, their life is through. I mean, I think they can have a good life.
But I guess your question, Dr. Harjit, is, considering that things are better for them now, why isn't the state of our sporting world better when it comes to Malaysia? Why don't we have, our gold medal? We always talk about this, where is our gold medal? Where is our elite athletes outside of the Nicole Davids and the Lee Chong Weis?
Yeah, I think those days, we didn't have National Sport Council. We had only the state association. So the state association, I think those days, I think the coaches and the officials were really very, very dedicated. I think that one we must give hats off to them. But nowadays, we have national sport councils and, you know, everybody wants to coach the higher level. They want to coach the national team. They want to coach the junior. So nobody is looking at the development. So if you have a good development program, those days at my time in our school, we used to have inter-house. Inter-class, and then we have to have inter-district. And nowadays, I don't think in any of the state, maybe one or two, we have inter-district. I don't think the states association are doing enough. The National Sport Council, they are doing a good job. But the states need to do. I mean, funding is important. Those days, sports was not, you don't need much funds. Now sports is getting very expensive, so the funds are important. Maybe they can't afford, maybe, but they must find a way to solve the problem. There's no point holding the post in the district level or the state level and they're not doing anything. I think sad to say that is what's happening now in the state's level.
So there is a problem at the absolute ground level. Right. I know we're talking about trying to develop a champion sports person, but I am curious about what happens to all the people who don't make it to an elite level. Because let's say I started at the age of 5, but I was just never that gifted, but I worked really hard. And then I go to a sports school and I make it all the way through, and then I just never make it anywhere after that, you know. But my whole life has been hockey, for example, and I don't know much about, you know, other aspects. What happens to the people who've been training for a long time but just are not elite sports people?
I mean, of course, they can't make it to the top level. I mean, it's not a loss for him or her, because they still have education in the sports school. You still have education. They lead you to UPM, I think. So you still kind of get a diploma or degree. That is one. Number two, and now hockey is coming to a semi-pro. It's like a professional league. So you hockey players are starting to get earnings from hockey. So, I mean, the league is, our league is professional. I think after India, I think Malaysian league, I think, is the second best for me. The players earn quite well. And, you know, you can play for the club. Example, like Sapura, TNB, KL Hockey Club, and then Terengganu now. And then you also have a Uni KL and also Maybank. And Maybank and TNB, these are the two companies which have been supporting hockey from a very long time. So we have a lot of good players in TNB and Maybank.
Another aspect of trying to get great athletes out of, you know, child athletes is that you want to train them, you want to make sure they're gifted, you want to find them the right sport. But some people also want to give them supplements, you know, to start to say, okay, well, let's try and enhance this, let's try and keep you healthy. What are your views on supplements for child athletes?
Well, I don't really have much views. I think in developing an athlete, advice on proper nutrition is probably the key.
Yeah.
You don't need to pop supplements, especially as they are developing. I think you tend to send the wrong signals to an athlete, especially an adolescent athlete, if you emphasize that supplements are important. You know, some of them get involved with a bit of steroid use. I think those are bad signals. We control the positive health attitudes towards sports. That means we encourage them not to smoke.
Yeah.
We encourage them to eat a very good balanced diet.
Yes.
We encourage them to get good rest between the time that they are training. So they have to understand this. If they understand it from the time they are young, when they are playing for the national team, or they are playing beyond that, and they are playing for professional clubs, it will just be a carry-on effect. Now, if you don't get it right then they are going to always take a supplement, or they get involved with steroids, or they still smoke while they are playing for the national team. And I think that is ridiculous, because it's two-pronged. Once you play for the national team, you become a role model for the younger athlete. Now, if I am a 12-year-old boy, love, and Sarjit is my role model, and he is doing something which is improper, it seems very acceptable for me, you know, that, okay, this guy is doing it, so it's fine. So I think that we have to emphasize that from the word go. Supplements, I don't think it's a big thing for them.
From a medical point of view, are steroids more problematic for teenagers? Well, not they're problematic for everyone, but is it more dangerous for teenagers or children to use them than adults?
I actually was worried you're going to ask that question. But the way I look at it is this. It is a big problem. Okay. Now, in a teenager, you have him going through puberty where the hormones are haywire anyway. And then you have the use of steroids. Now, in an adult, you are using steroids in a skeleton that has already grown to its maximum potential. Now you are dealing with taking steroids in a skeleton and personality, psychology, brain, which is still developing. So I think it's just a disaster waiting to happen, because we have read about steroid rage, we have read about mood changes, acne development, and then changes in the hair pattern, the sexual organ development, all because of steroids, and it's definitely amplified in the teenager.
I think I really agree with Dr. Haji about the supplement, because if you really sleep well and you train well, I think you don't need all this. The diet, the food you have, the diet, you don't need all this. Of course, they said, because all the companies, they have done their marketing well to sell their product. So everybody wants to say their product is good. So I mean, if you do the thing correctly from the beginning, I don't see any. Of course, it helped a bit, but I don't think much. I've never taken it.
And you're fine, yeah.
Yeah. But the most important, like what Dr. Ji said, I mean, stay away from alcohol and stay away from cigarette. I think you can be a good athlete.
From the beginning, when child athletes learn to play and learn to train, eventually they start to transition into training to compete and then training to win. How do parents and coaches decide, okay, I think you are ready to start going into competitions? And I guess ready here is not just physically, but also emotionally, mentally, because once you enter competitions, you also have to be ready to lose.
Yeah, I think coming back to that, I mean, at a very young age, our kids, we don't put them in the real competition, pressure competition. What I'm trying to say is, you see, let's say there's a competition, but did your child have enough training for the competition? Example, a child always come with a stick bag, coming to play hockey. The most of the time, he gets to play 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And then when the competition come, the parents are there coming to watch the kids play and they never get a chance to play. So that's where, I think that your question is very good. That's where what you need to do is to get these kids we always concentrate on the kids who are good players. We don't concentrate on the players, kids who are just struggling. Actually, we should concentrate on the kids who are struggling to bring them to the same level. Once we can do that, and then you encourage more people to play sports.
So, in other words, it's about leveling everybody up.
Yes.
Okay. How do we encourage athleticism? I mean, I feel like even the title of this show, Developing a Champion Sports Person, is putting a lot of pressure on parents and children. How do we encourage interest in sports and athleticism without pressuring them, without saying, look, if you don't do this, you know, you're disappointing mom and dad, you have to do this?
No, I think if you look at maybe my standpoint is, we know that the role model and the person that the child looks to up to the age of 3 or 4 is the parent. So whatever the parent does, the child will follow. Yeah. Now, as the child gets older and you put them into a structured spot, the coach becomes the guru. The coach becomes the end-all. That means the coach has the responsibility to manage the mind of the child and not only the skills. So I think if you look at no pressure, there never will be a time where there is no pressure.
In competitive sports, yeah.
Managing the pressure.
Yes.
So, like what Sajid said, you give them small doses, and as they become okay, I guess you increase the pressure.
Yeah.
If your child is no longer 5 or 6, you know, if someone is listening and has a 11-year-old or a 12-year-old, but you think your child might have an interest or potential to be an athlete, is it too late? I mean, where do you find the avenues to start supporting that child?
No, I think even at 16, it's not too late. Even at 16, if you're really very interested, the most important key here is how interested you are. If you're interested, definitely you put more work, you put extra work into it. So even at 11 is a very good time. The most important is how much time do you want to spend there, and what are the things you want to do, and what are the things you are weak in. Like earlier I said, what I would like to do one day is, like these kids, all you get the kids who are struggling. Once you bring the kids who are struggling to play more, I mean, then you have the bigger base. Once you have the bigger base, that's where the parents will see, oh, my child is always. When I send my child don't get a chance to play. But here I see my child's get a chance to play. So I mean, we have started a club now among ourselves. So what we are doing is, we want kids. We are starting a league among ourselves. We are starting a league so the kids who are struggling, they must play at least, let's say the game is played 30 minutes. We must make sure the kids play 15 minutes of the game. No point the kid come all the way with all the attire and don't get chance to play. So that's where you there are so many other ways to get the kids interested and the parents. Once the parents are interested, then I think we are on the right track.
What would your final message be on how to go about developing a champion sportsperson all the way from the grassroots level to elite?
Okay, for me, on the medical standpoint, is that you have to educate the child from the word go on how to be safe during sport, understanding the warm-ups, the warm-down, understanding that you can get injured, and how to get treatment early, and the emphasis of the coach to understand that, you know, it's very important that the well-being of the child is taken care of, because if the child gets injured very early and is unable to play anymore, then that's the end of the story about our child athlete.
Yeah.
So it's finished, over. He then is never going to play. But if everybody hones it very, very well, then they get the best benefit. So you have to always play safe. I think that's very important.
Yeah, I think physical training is very important. Conditioning, weight training is important, very important. And also skill. Like hockey, you need all these three. I mean, if you really put a lot of hard work and you really want to do it, I think you will definitely succeed. For me, I think I believe in that.
Yeah, but you're different.
Dr. Harjit, I'm guessing if people want to come up to you and ask you a few more questions about this or about play or, you know, just about their child's bones, essentially, and muscles, they'll be able to pretty soon, right?
Yeah, they will. Yeah, we're having our pediatric event coming up on the 13th. Yeah, so I'll be there. And if there are questions on high-level training, then I'll give you Sarjit's number.
And again, that's Health and Living Junior. That's coming up on Sunday, November 13th. Dr. Harjit will be there alongside other practitioners talking about children's health. Dr. Harjit will be talking, or will be on a panel on the importance of play, and that's at Connection at Nexus Bangsa South, Sunday, November 13th. You can look that up on bfm.my/health. That's our website. And thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. You've been listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.